Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, radio family. Happy weekend and welcome back once again to the weekend edition of Community Focus. One of my favorite times of the morning, and it apparently has become yours because I really thank you for your wonderful company, as it is that time to engage once again in wonderful conversation with members of our Community Focus family. Now, radio family, his voice you probably haven't heard in quite some time, but when he's not on our public affairs program, he's still considered family, as I want to say good morning to you. Joel Leonard, my first time talking to you in 2022, and I know you have been busy over the last, I don't know what, 2 or 3 years, and this was before COVID, and you continue to be busy during this pandemic. It is so nice to have you back on the program. My brother, how have you been?
I am absolutely honored and thrilled to be back with you and to serve your audience and to provide them information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just overjoyed too, Joel, because many of our radio family are just familiar with your name alone. And I'm sure many are like, yeah, I recognize the voice. But it's always nice when we have newer listeners and we add members of our Community Focus family, people who may be new to the area or new to this public affairs program. I just want to share with you, radio family, a little background on Joel, who is a recognized leader at Building Pipelines of Skilled Technicians. So if that will give you any indication as to what our topic of discussion will be, Joel has also been just a phenomenal individual and helping to grow respect and appreciation of the maintenance profession. With over 30 years of professional experience, you, Joel, have helped all types of people, from ex-offenders looking for jobs to C-suite executives looking for talent, as well as even top government and educational leaders looking to grow talent pools to retain and attract employers. Now, before I go any further, speaking of those who may be new to you and you to them, do you recall, and if you don't mind sharing, and this is going way back for you and me, my friend, the very first time it actually came about that you initially became part of this radio family?
Well, absolutely, because it blew my mind. I had people call me. I did a TV interview on WFMY in 2003 time frame, and at that time I didn't want to watch the news because every night there was a closure, there was a departure, was factory shutting down, there were long time big businesses shutting down and moving to China and other places. And it was like watching an obituary for businesses. And the whole attitude and atmosphere of the community was, there's no jobs, everywhere is shutting down, what are we going to do? Right. And I saw a TV reporter, and I just tapped her on the arm, and I said, do you want to know about real jobs? You know that there is jobs in this area? Right. All y'all are doing is talking about not having jobs.
Right.
And people are shutting down. Well, there's also companies hiring, and that she didn't believe me, because that's all they've been talking about.
You're right.
And so I pulled out a newspaper and showed her the skilled technician openings and showed there were over 70 postings, not to mention jobs, just the postings, just in skilled tech jobs. Yeah. And that was just from a random newspaper that I picked up off the out of the dispenser. So she interviewed me, put me on the Channel 2, and then the next thing I know, I was getting phone calls. Hey, man, I heard you on the radio. Hey, man, what are you doing on the radio? I said, I wasn't on any radio. What are you talking about? And they said, well, the station, WQMG's been airing your interview, and I didn't get interviewed by them. So I called them up and got it connected with Renee Vaughn, and Renee Vaughn said, yeah, we've been airing your interview. It was great.
And what a lovely trip down memory lane, my friend. Yes, and at that particular time, and I'll just...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
To add to it, when I was doing the then Tom Joyner morning show, we were running, or at the time that I was doing local news, I was adding sound bites within the newscast and happened to come across that very interview with that reporter with you. And yes, used your voice during that particular segment. And as they say, my friend, the rest indeed is history. And that's how you officially got introduced to the radio family and to the QMG family. So thank you for sharing that, Joel. I really do appreciate it. Now, as our topic of discussion today is on workforce development, my first question to you, what are some of the potential challenges that these will create to existing employers?
Well, what you're referring to is the big announcements. The Triad is no longer the same place where companies were escaping,
right,
and migrating to other places. Now we've become the destination location. Now we are on every site selection group's radar, and they are evaluating whether they should come to North Carolina. And specifically in the Triad, because we just landed several major transformative decisions we won. Normally, we lose those. We've been losing to Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee, right, and a lot of other neighboring community states, and it's been really bad. But this time, the state legislature and other groups, form teams, and they put together some very aggressive plans, and we now have won mega site jobs in Randolph-Guilford area near Julian and Liberty. Mm-hmm. There's about 800 acres there that's been allocated, and Toyota battery, the electric vehicle producer will be making their own electric vehicle batteries right there. Mm-hmm. And then we just 2 weeks ago this week, Boom Supersonic, mm-hmm. the next generation of the Concorde, right. will be announced its news. They're out of Colorado. They're moving to Greensboro. And the airport is not just an airport. It's now a business park. And there's about 8,000 jobs in that area now, and they're going to add an additional 1,750 jobs. Wow. And so and the average wage of both Toyota and Boom Supersonic is going to be over 70,000. So there's now, in 3 to 5 years, this whole region's going to be exploding. And those companies are just the ones now. There will be supply chain decisions made. There will be a lot of suppliers made to come here, as well as existing employers will be securing large contracts to support these new businesses. So we're in the midst of a mega, I call it the mega boom.
Absolutely.
The jobs and the Boom Supersonic. Are coming. And so what's sad is those two companies are kind of overshadowing all the current needs and future needs of our existing employers and supporters. And so we've got to wake up, and that's why I'm delighted that you're willing to have me on here on at least a monthly basis. To talk about these opportunities and what people in our community can do to prepare and secure these opportunities. What's going to happen, what sadly is going to happen, is we're going to have a lot of people on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. Because companies can't afford to hire people that aren't qualified. They have to be qualified to do the job. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be a lot of migration to North Carolina. The real estate markets and the other groups are already preparing for that. They're right. looking at expanding and adding more apartment complexes. They're looking at the real estate. They're saying we only have a 6-month supply of housing now. So so there is a serious need for the migration to come here. We've got to get ready for them, which isn't a bad thing. We're going to get some really good talent coming in from the Midwest and Michigan and Ohio and right. and other places that want to be a part of these mega boom jobs, as well as people from New Jersey and other places. They bring some neat diversity to our area. But again, what my focus is and what I'm concerned about is we got a lot of underserved groups who are not getting the adequate information they need to be able to be competitive. And they do not get that in school. They aren't getting this in their the support from their community. We don't have pep rallies for people to pursue normal jobs.
You're
we have pep
right.
rallies for people that shoot three-pointers and hit home runs and make touchdowns. Well, you can't make money doing those things. And we have so many kids who are thinking that that's what they're going to do. And I've been frustrated as I've been going out and talking to kids, and they turn me off as soon as they find out I can't help them getting to the NBA. So, and there's just not that many jobs in those sports and entertainment, but we have a whole supportive culture that's been pushing that angle, and it's sad because they don't realize that sports is a great pathway to so many things. It teaching us so many skills and so many transferable knowledges, attributes that we could develop. But, I mean, like perseverance, like picking yourself up after you fall down. I mean, teamwork, so many, confidence, so many things.
Right.
But it's not the destination. Now, there are a few who do make it.
True. That's
but
true.
But even them, they don't last that long. Yeah. And what are you going to do for the rest of your life?
Exactly. That's a great stopping point for the first half of our program, Joel. And it is just so good to hear your voice and to share this information. In fact, that's going to be one of my next questions. I'm going to give you a few minutes to ponder over it as we go to our first break of the day. What can potential candidates do to get prepared to win these particular jobs? So let's do that. Thanking you, Radio Family, for your fine company and definitely the company of our brother, one Joel Leonard, who was with us. Our topic of discussion, our great conversation on workforce development, and we will continue this conversation. You're listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus. We'll be back right after this break. You are listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus, heard on our Odyssey stations. Thank you, Radio Family. Great company as always, and continuing in great conversation with members of our Community Focus family. For those of you who are just joining us, Joel Leonard, a recognized leader at building pipelines of skilled technicians and helping to grow respect and appreciation of the maintenance profession, is with me, Renee Vaughn, as our topic of discussion this weekend is on workforce development. Now, Joel, before I get to the question, what can potential candidates do to get prepared to win these jobs? I wanted to brag on you a little bit, my friend. You recently received recognition as early as last year, where in 2021, you were inducted into the Order of the Longleaf Pine for your career of implementing workforce development strategies. And this was an honor given to you by Governor Roy Cooper. Also, there was a North Carolina flag raised over the NC State Legislature in your honor for your pivotal role, particularly after COVID-19, by investing, is this $100,000 into a mobile training center called MakesboroughUSA.com?
Yes, it was $100,000.
Wow. Wow, dude, that's all I can say is wow. And it is so good as we continue this fabulous conversation on the importance of the maintenance profession. And let me just reference something that we were talking about off air and a little bit earlier on the program, because you made such an excellent point where when you go out to area schools and kids are tuning you off because they're more interested in making the money in sports and singing competitions and in other arenas. And the fact that a lot of these maintenance jobs that are out there, our kids are not learning in very many of our classrooms. And that made me think, you know, yeah, it's good for those that do make it in those sporting and singing professions. But what about the behind the scene things that take place? Like if you're a singer, somebody's got to maintain the microphone. They got to maintain the equipment. A lot of that requires some type of maintenance in terms of fixing those things. And so just getting our young people in the mindset of what people who are already in this profession are doing, how much they contribute to those athletes, to those singers, and things of that nature. And what I love about you and your passion for this, Joel, when you speak to young persons, is getting them to understand that these are jobs that not only pay well, and in some cases do just as equally good on a monetary basis with, you know, being an athlete or being a professional singer, but these are, and it's what you touched on earlier, these last a little bit longer. What happens if you break an ankle or you hurt yourself beyond the point that you can't play anymore? Or if something should happen to your vocal cords or you can no longer play a particular instrument, what do you have to fall back on? And so I really appreciated you bringing those things to light and part of what we're going to continue in our conversation. So let's get to the potential candidates. How does one prepare for these jobs? If they know that, hey, I'm not going to make it as a professional athlete and I'm not going to make it as a professional singer, I got to do something for a living to support my family or support myself.
Well, absolutely. They need to get out and get connected. And there's a variety of ways they can do this. What's sad is because of the quarantines and the pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, they totally shut down our education systems. Right. And they said that there's a 14% reduction in the amount of people that are taking technical classes. Mm-hmm. The hand exposure points have really dwindled in the last couple of years, and that's when we need them the most. All these jobs that we're talking about are going to require some highly technical capabilities for these folks to contribute, mm-hmm. whether it's in the maintenance function, the production function, or logistics. Right. They're going to have to be highly technically adept. Yeah. And so they're going to need to really skill up and get developed. And there's, again, there's a variety of options, and I'm working on building more. Mm-hmm. And that's why I invested $100,000 in getting more exposure into folks, and they're not having to wait on a class to open up.
Right.
I've set up this mobile training center. It's literally a truck and a trailer that has a CNC, a computer numerical control machine. By the way, Renee, there's mm-hmm. over 500 jobs estimated right now.
Wow.
Right now.
Wow.
People that can operate a CNC. And if they can program a CNC, I mean, if they can operate it, they'll make $15, $25 an hour. And so that's $30,000 to $50,000 a year. If they can program it, they can make at least $60,000 to $70,000 minimum. Mm-hmm. And because the programming means that they can operate the computer and make the CNC do as they want it to do.
Right.
They can literally control the depth, the course of the router bit or whatever the device they use, and they can carve out metal. They can do all these things to be able to get this developed. So there's a lot of options here for folks. And again, if they can learn how to program this, they can make easily six figures. If they mm-hmm. can't make it within the current company they're with, they can pick up side jobs at night
Absolutely.
And weekend.
Absolutely. And
CNC is going to be heavily used to make the electric batteries, the various components that go into the electric vehicles. It's going to be used extensively to make the millions of parts that are going to be needed for the Boom supersonic jet they're calling Overture.
Right.
Going to be so much demand for people that can run CNC machines. And mm-hmm. there's 19 openings right now at a drill bit manufacturer in Asheboro,
wow.
believe it or not.
Wow.
So right now we have a shortage of these skill sets. We just added to the challenge, and we're going to have employers destabilized unless we build that pipeline. And that's why I'm delighted that you're allowing me to get these kids to start realizing you ain't going to make money shooting a three-pointer. You got to get in here and learn how to run these machines. You got to get into the schools. You got to get, if your school doesn't offer this type of class, get them to offer the class. Mm-hmm. If your parents start lobbying for that, you will get it. So we need more parents, we need more grandparents, we need more school systems to invest in these types of training programs, because we're going to be destabilizing our current manufacturers unless we build that pipeline.
And look what you did there. Now, go ahead and finish, and then I'll add to what you're everything that you're saying thus far.
Well, we've got to. I mean, there's not an option. We're going to mm-hmm. be having major companies, just people are going to be bouncing around, and the companies are going to struggle to find the quality that they need.
So what's
neat is, I call it the openings that are going to be created once the mega boom companies come.
Right.
I call them the vacuum jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so schools start focusing on the vacuum jobs. They will have, the companies will love that, because they currently, most schools don't adequately prepare our youth for their future. They don't give them opportunities to go see the businesses. Mm-hmm. They don't get chances to take tours. They don't get exposure to them, especially during COVID. Nobody can get even on campus.
Right.
And so we've got to figure out other ways, and there are other ways. You can get into a program called TALLO.com. TALLO.com is an online version of LinkedIn, except it's companies actually pay for, and they've been vetted to, for the right to advertise and promote and connect with job candidates. And so Tallow is huge, and it's, a lot of companies are growing their pipelines by focusing on those venues. They're using LinkedIn too. But as I used to say, tell people, I said, if you want to whine about not having a job, go to Facebook. If you want to get a job, get on LinkedIn. Well, also now get on Tallow.
On Tallow. Absolutely. And thank you for sharing all that great information, Joel, because a couple of things as I was listening to you come to mind. Number one, and we talked about this years past, about how it is really important for our generation of young ones, because our baby boomers, if they're not already retired, are getting close to that. And they're going to need someone to fill their shoes once they have retired officially from the workforce. And secondly, and this is what I was alluding to earlier, look what you did there with my next question. Speaking about our area schools, what can they do to give our students the proper preparation to prepare for these future jobs? And the current
We've had some, thank you, Renee, and we've had some schools and some programs develop in the last several years, and I've been advocating this for over 20, that we need to deepen our apprenticeships. Yeah. We need to set up, I'm still frustrated, there's some communities that just don't have apprenticeships. And how are we going to build a pipeline if nobody gets in there and learns from the existing workforce?
Right.
The faster, if anybody wants to take on a future job, say you want to get into medicine, well, the best way to do it is to go hang around a bunch of doctors.
Exactly. There you go.
You know, so.
Right. Makes sense to me.
Find out what they're concerned about.
Right,
find
right.
out what they do. Find out how they do it. Find
exactly.
out their-
and you know what, Joel? When you and I were coming along, I believe they call that job shadowing. You went to someone's place of work or employment and you shadowed what they did. So that when it came time for you to do or contribute your part, you had some experience watching the other person do their work, do their job.
Absolutely. Again, that's the fastest way of being an excellent talent, regardless of whatever profession you choose. If you want to be a baker, you want to be whatever, you
right.
go hang around the people that currently do it.
Exactly.
And then you get good,
right.
and then you become excellent in what you do.
There you go.
The fastest way. But sadly, because of COVID and because of all the restrictions and financial issues and things, people don't allow people to come into their businesses anymore. We become more and more isolated. Thus, people are sitting on the outside looking in, getting frustrated,
right.
and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, which doesn't allow them to get ready. I need to also mention something. You know, as we're legalizing all these different drugs, they don't realize insurance companies still make it, they still carry the weight in a business. If you got people that can't pass a drug test, you don't get manufacturing insurance.
Right.
And so your business is forced to make sure that they do these drug tests. So it might be legal to buy. It ain't legal to use on a job that you're using very expensive equipment and around all kinds of businesses.
That's true.
Various things that could be fatal if you are hopped up on various things. So we've got to keep ourselves clean, we've got to keep ourselves focused, and we've got to get our technical skills developed if we want to advance and take on these jobs.
Absolutely, Joel. And another thing that I wanted to bring to your attention, because you touched on this earlier in our great conversation, and again, I want to thank you, Radio Family, for joining us. You are listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus here on our Odyssey stations, and indeed, wonderful conversation with Mr. Joel Leonard, again, a recognized leader of building those pipelines of skilled technicians and helping to grow respect and appreciation of the maintenance profession. Now, you were talking about the makerspace earlier. Now, I wanted to share for those who may or may not know about you, Joel, and this was pre-COVID. There was a time in which you were pretty much all over the globe, man. If you weren't traveling cross-country and getting the word out about the maintenance profession, you had a chance to travel overseas on a number of occasions. That was one thing. And secondly, let me ask you this. Let's put a little spin on this. Speaking of, and I want to get back to our young ones, because for anyone who does follow you on social media, particularly on Facebook, which I think now they're calling Meta something. I'm still old school, so it's still Facebook to me. But anyway, and keeping up with you personally and seeing, you know, your pictures and hearing about your experiences and you're sharing your stories. And I see young ones who are so thrilled with the, and it just escaped me, Joel. Shame on me. Is it Thornton? How do you pronounce it? You know what I'm talking about.
The Thorminator.
Thorminator. I thought that's what it was, but I wanted to hear it directly from your lips. And to see the excitement on some of the younger ones. So in a sense, Joel, you're having in some impact with some of our young ones. But of course, your passion is to get more young people to love or to develop a love in the entrance in the maintenance field.
Well, maintenance, again, is just one technical role, but absolutely, I've actually gotten a lot broader than that. I mean, it could be in the design, it could be in the development, it could be in the production, it could be maintaining and keeping it going. A reason I focused on maintenance, because that is often overshadowed and underappreciated, and that's why I felt like that needed to be touted. But we got to develop our appreciation for taking care of things and keeping our tools and our skills updated. The reason I invented this 50, it's a 50-pound hammer, for those aren't familiar with the Thorminator.
Right.
It's not a full-size hammer. And it's made out of aircraft aluminum. It's got, now it has 1,000 LEDs on it.
Wow.
And when I take it to places, people really do pay attention, you know.
They
and
do.
Again, if you want people interested in working with tools, you got to make tools interesting.
That's right. Joel, let me say this as an aside before you continue, and this is just light humor. Thor has nothing on your Thorminator. I just want you to know that for those who are familiar with the character.
Well, the Thorminator is a cross, but the hammer literally does look like
that. Yeah, that's what it makes me think of, yeah.
It makes them think of Thor. Then they see all the lights go on, and they also see the handle looks like a leg off the Terminator, so we call it half Thor, half Terminator.
From the love the smash up.
And here it is to help us better appreciate our technical skill set.
Right, absolutely. Now, Joel, let me also, again, just say how much I appreciate what you're doing. And as you alluded to earlier, what we will hopefully be able to continue to do by having you on the program on a monthly basis. We're shooting for that goal in sharing, you know, the latest up-to-date information on the maintenance profession and really, again, how to get candidates prepared for these particular jobs. I wanted to ask you, what impact do you personally see with the arrival of both the Toyota plant that's coming along with Boom Supersonic?
Well, it's going to cause a serious disruption in our community. It's going to be very, it's nice to be able to not have to move away to get a job.
Right, right.
It's nice not have to drive down to Charlotte or drive to Raleigh or go to another community. Even Hickory has had some serious growth.
Right.
Do that right here. We're going to have, within a commutable distance, major companies coming. We're also going to have lots of machine shops, and a lot of other businesses are going to have lots of extra opportunities available to them if they pursue them. And so we've got to support these companies. We've got to support our existing employers. And so, because they're going to be paying the price more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be a lot of job hoppers out there who are going to say, hey, I want to go to Toyota. Hey, I want to go to Boom. And that's fine. But there's going to be openings created after they leave.
Right.
And if we don't have the pipeline that can jump in and take on their roles, those companies are going to be crippled. Mm-hmm. And that's what concerns me the most about this new addition. We've given them some serious incentives. We've given them all kinds of attributes. And that's, and again, to compete in today's economy, we learned the problem. If you don't, you don't get it. Right. Alabama won the Toyota assembly plant because they gave major incentives. They bought Mercedes. They bought all kinds of major companies over the last several years. And here we are looking on the outside saying that's not fair. Well, whatever's fair is fair. We've got to get in there and contribute. And again, the best thing our communities can do is to support our local businesses and support our new ones by building our technical skill sets. There's going to be lots of classes, lots of programs set up in our school systems. There's actually going to be an on-site community college program that Randolph is working with. But right now, it's sad is there's a lots of company, lots of technical programs that these community colleges can't fill. We don't have enough people taking electrical, enough people taking all the pneumatics, enough people taking all the machining. They don't realize that's where the money is. And that's why your program today is so important. I hope that grandparents, I hope that parents, I hope that everybody spreads this word and gets it out there that what I'm saying is true and what we're trying to get done is needed and is so important. And we can't continue doing things as we used to do. We've got to support them, change our culture to fully take advantage of these opportunities.
Well, Joel, if I can, on behalf of our radio family, be the spokesperson or the voice, if you will, for our community in extending a huge thank you for this opportunity for us to engage in this conversation and to particularly say thank you for the passion you have in our young ones, because I don't think of just those of our juniors and seniors in high school, but in what you have been speaking of for the majority of our conversation, I think about our college graduates. A lot of these kids who are attending our universities here, one of the main reasons a lot of them probably don't stick around is because there is such a lack of having an opportunity with which to find, and for lack of a better word, because I'm having a brain freeze right now, the variety of jobs that are out there for those that do have an interest in wanting to be a part of the maintenance profession and wanting to help improve the pipeline for our existing businesses and future businesses to come. And so a lot of them end up going back to their respective homes, and some don't end up staying in the area. Like you said, with so many jobs that are available, the lack of people to fill them is because all of our young ones migrate to other places, like you were talking about, other major cities that have these if you will, you know, everything that we've talked about already in place. But it would be nice to have them stay right here in the Carolinas, because I think we have some of the finest technical schools in the state of North Carolina. But yet a lot of these kids are going to other places.
Well, and sadly, we don't promote our existing workforce.
Yeah.
If I was mayor of a town, this is what I would do. I would have a weekly list of every company in my jurisdiction that is hiring more than 10 people. And I would put it on a list, and I would read their name into the role each week. In fact, I've been telling mayors to do that so that the community news vehicles and all the media and all the others that cover these programs, these meetings, start getting that constant drumbeat and realize that this company's hiring, this company's hiring, this company's hiring. We got to get that in everybody's heads. And again, we have a regular death toll every night on whatever crime was committed. It would be great if we had just 5 minutes every night to show us what jobs are open.
I like that. Well, thank you, my friend. And you know from me, there are no goodbyes on this program. So I'm looking forward to, as we are going to continue this conversation on a regular basis, I don't want to say welcome back, but welcome back to the radio family. You've been missed, dude. So it's really nice to again hear your voice and to thank you for the passion that you have. And indeed, no goodbyes from me, my friend, just until next time.
Well, thank you so much, Renee.
Absolutely.
Now full circle, you and I were talking when things were down. Now we're talking when things are up.
Yeah.
More people take advantage of these opportunities.
Absolutely. Now, Joel, if someone should have additional questions, how best to get in contact with you?
I'm going to give out a email address because I used to get phone calls. You broadcast this, and people will be reading it in the middle of the night. I can't get phone calls.
You can't handle it.
I probably need to simplify this, but it's Maker at Makesboro, M-A-K-E-S-Boro, B-O-R-O, USA.com. Maker at Makesboro, USA.com. And they can go to my website. They can sign up for a newsletter. And if they want to see me on Facebook, I'm Joel Leonard. I think they got me number 3. I'm on LinkedIn, Joel Leonard, the Maker's Maker. And I would be delighted to help anybody and continue these discussions and help them grow their skill sets, grow their capacity, and grow their prosperity. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. And look, Joel, listen to this loud and clear. You're number one and always will be in my book, and hopefully for our radio family as well. So thank you very much, sir. And thank you, radio family, for the wonderful things you continue to do in our communities. Keep up the great work. And you have been listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus. Please continue to stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And until that next time, everybody take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.